Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 through 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1 through 4 of 187. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 13 and to the end. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 13. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, and while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So far the reading of God's holy word. We wish to remember in prayer the relatives of Mr. Bill Van Driesten of Fort McLeod, who passed away in this past week. Also the relatives of Mr. Garrett Moordyke from Kalamazoo, who is well known to many of us. He has also passed away in this past week. Mrs. DePuter is in the hospital in Lethbridge. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to thee. We are yet in the land of the living, but it is as we may experience from a day to day the land of the dying. Remember those that mourn, for thou dost visit our sin upon us, still, even as we can read it in thy word, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so it must be experienced in the life of each and every one of us, the reality of our fall, the consequences of our sin, the greatness of the evil. And then there is great mourning in the midst of this world. Wilt thou supply for all those in whose heart is sorrow? And wilt thou cause it to lead once again unto our Maker in confession of what we have done and what we have become? And that it may lead also to a great need for thine only begotten Son, who has taken away the cause of death, namely sin, nailing it to his cross, burying it in his grave, and leaving it forever to be cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness in the life of thy people. O Lord, that thou mayst supply then for all that mourn and all that are distressed in this world, and that thou may also raise up new ones in the midst of thy church, for also those that have served in thy church for so many years in the congregation not only, but also in the denomination wherein that he has dwelt, as so that he is well known to so very many. But Lord, wilt thou give more than the children to come in the place of the fathers, and that there also may come sires for thy truth in the midst of us, even as sires are taken away, and that there may come a need and a desire and a longing and a crying, that thou may come again and that thou may restore all things, that thou would hold on to thy truth in the midst of us, and that thou would not permit us to sink further and further away, but wilt thou draw the children and the youth also, that their hearts may be taken by thee, spoiled for the world and everything that it contains, and that young and old together, that we may learn that through fear of thy name. Lord, wilt thou instruct us in a day of grace and in a time of salvation? For it hastens away at time like an ever-rolling stream, bearing all its sons away, and thy word still going forth in the midst of us, for which we may acknowledge thee, and that it may be preached, that it may be read, and that we may read it day after day in our own places. But, Lord, our accountability that is so very great. And with all this, when we shall perish in the way that we have been born, then it will forever testify against us. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And we beseech it of thee in this morning hour, that thou would so speak in the midst of us. The proud in vain thy favor seek, but thou hast mercy for the meek. Oh, that thou may show it also in this morning hour, that there may be a hunger and a thirst, that there may be a desire that is born of thee, that cannot let thee go except thou bless them, and that thy spirit may be drawn out to hear when thine elect cry day and night unto thee, that thou would avenge them, Lord, of all their adversaries, and that thou would put away Satan for a little moment in this day, to make a little Elim in the life of thy church, to give a little to drink, a little to eat, upon the journey that they may be strengthened, and that they may finish their course. Lord, it is a short course, whether we live 20, 50, or 100 years. And then it is but a short time, and it is a labor and sorrow in the midst of this world. And then we do fly away. But Satan is drawing each and every one, that we would be busy with all the things of this world. And Lord, we need that thou would come for the first, but also by renewal. That thou would work with might and with power, that thou may keep each and every one of us from working out our own destruction, that thou may give new life in the midst of the church, and that thou may sustain it also as him which is and which was and which is to come, and in whom is all the power given in heaven and in earth. Lord, therefore we ask it of thee with all our responsibility. We can do nothing because we are of ourselves by nature dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, but it is thou alone, Lord, and thou dost call each and every one of us to turn ye from your evil ways. Oh, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Draw us, and we will run after thee. Wilt thou look upon young and old together? Look on those who have already a foot in the grave, who have become old. Oh, it becomes such an urgent matter. And there is not one of us that knows what a day may bring forth. But the old must die, and the fears can be so many. Lord, we beseech thee for them, when the truth may be so well known, and so well agreed to, and so well loved. But then when it must be acknowledged, and that we miss the first beginnings, oh, we beseech thee, Lord, God of heaven and of earth, that thou would come with thy word this day, one word, in the heart of a stony heart, and will break it to pieces, or will melt it to tears, and will bring it in true repentance and confession. Lord, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Look on young and old. Remember all afflicted ones. Supply in the needs of her that lieth in the hospital. And thou hast made it well to this moment to give a little strength yet, to give a little increase. Oh, we beseech thee to help her further and to heal her in the body, to raise her up for her wife, for her husband and for her children and for all her loved ones. But could it please thee also to visit her in that place when she cannot be in thy house, where she has come up for so many years? Lord, be with all the afflicted, all young and old together, in the many needs, in hospitals, in institutions of mercy, and when there is therapy, when there is care. Oh, we are such frail creatures, even from the moment of our conception and our birth, in the mind and in the body, and we need help from above, that thou may supply for us each one, but not that we may live our life in the world, not that we may live it for the service of the devil, but oh, may it be that our hearts may be drawn unto thee. Lord, remember us, all those that bring thy word. Oh, give opening, give liberty, give freedom, give thy spirit, and give that it may bring forth fruit amongst young and old, Jew and Gentile, over the face of this whole earth. Increase the number of thy servants. Help us too in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest all our needs, for the mind, for the body,
but also for our own soul. Oh Lord, how can we give it? And then we do not receive it. Oh Lord, give it then to us, and that we may give it also unto others. Oh, we have read it from thy word. That they had to tell the people to sit down. Oh, they had to give them to eat. And they had from their side nothing to give them. Lord, thou didst multiply the loaves. We ask it of thee also in this morning. Do it for thy name's sake. And wilt thou help us that we may receive that strength that is necessary to go in and out amongst this our flock to whom thou hast sent us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. We would like to announce to the congregation the following. Brendan DeYoung and Willina van Driesten hope to be united in holy matrimony on September the 14th. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by September the 1st. This is the second announcement. Also, that all young people who have a desire to attend the Confession of Faith class this fall are asked to contact Reverend Den Hollander by September the 1st. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 164, 1, 2, and 4. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 14th chapter, and the last part of verse 31. Matthew 14 and verse 31, the last part. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So far, the words of our text. That is, little faith instructed in the storm. And that is in 4 points. Children, maybe you'd like to take your Bible for a moment. Will you take your Bible for a moment? Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and then you can follow a little bit our 4 points. Otherwise, it is too difficult. Little faith instructed in the storm. And first, we want to see little faith's affection acknowledged, and his shortcomings born. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, and then you see that the Lord Jesus speaks to Peter, and he said, come. And he said, come. And we say that there the Lord Jesus acknowledged the affection, the love of Peter, and he bore his shortcomings. Come. Then we see, in the second place, little faith's exercise and doubt's interference. So we see in verse 29, little faith's exercise. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is, in the exercise of faith. But then we see doubt's interference. Verse 30. And beginning to sink. Thus, little faith's exercise and doubt's interference. Our second thought. Third, little faith's urgent cry and timely deliverance. Look at verse 30. Lord, save me. Urgent cry. And a timely deliverance. And immediately, in verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And last, little faith's trial ended, and the purpose of the instructor obtained. The trial is ended. Verse 32, and the wind ceased. And verse 33, they worshiped him. Thus, what is that? The purpose of the instructor that is obtained. They worshiped him. Little faith instructed in the storm, little faith's affection acknowledged and shortcomings born. Second, little faith's exercise and doubt's interference. Third, little faith's urgent cry and timely deliverance. And fourth, little faith's trial ended and the purpose of the instructor obtained. O thou of little faith, who speaks that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom? To Peter. And we see that more often in the Word of God, that the Lord speaks to his disciples and he says to them, O ye of little faith. Thus, it is the word of the Lord to his church, to to his church with all of her shortcomings. And today, congregation, young people, little faith is despised in general. Then the church that is professing a great faith, a very steadfast faith, a very strong faith, a very constant faith, a rejoicing. But it is a faith that we see does not endure the trial. Put now forth thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The trial of faith. Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing that the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, and I go childless? The trial of faith, 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. The trial of faith, and he answered her not a word. Thus, O thou of little faith, what does the true church do? They are asking the Lord, O Lord, increase our faith. And what is the most essential, that is the existence of faith, not the strength of faith, but does that true faith even exist within my heart, within my life? We read in God's word, the Lord Jesus says, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? Thus, faith that will be difficult to find in the last days, in the last time. There's a difference between what it ought to be and what it is. There is a difference between what is commanded and what is the ability. What is the reality? Little faith. Little faith often has more zeal, often has more love than she has knowledge. And thus, little faith must be instructed. Why? Because it is through instruction that little faith will increase, that it may become a greater faith. Little faith is often in error. Little faith often needs even to be restrained. What do we read? And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Thus, the Lord Jesus had to constrain his disciples. What does that mean, children? That means that they didn't want to go. That means that the Lord Jesus had to say it a second time, a third time. That means that the Lord Jesus had to convince his disciples to go, to get into the ship and to go over onto the other side. And why? But we have read together that the Lord Jesus has multiplied the loaves. And then we can read in the Gospel of John how that the people, they would take the Lord Jesus by force and they would make him a king. Oh, how the disciples, they would have rejoiced in their heart. Oh, when those people, they wanted to take the Lord Jesus and to make him their king, then we can imagine that those disciples, they had gone right along with it. Oh, then here is now the moment. This is the time that that the word of God shall be fulfilled, that the Son of David shall be put upon the throne. Oh, then that faith that is in error, and that faith needs to be restrained. Thus, the Lord Jesus has to constrain his disciples. They do not want to go. They also do not want to be without him. For the love of him that lives, that dwells within their heart, they do not want him either to be without them, that they should leave him alone. And then congregation, they have also had it so good. In that time, then the Lord Jesus has manifested his power. They have experienced it. They have eaten of the loaves which he has multiplied. It was in that time that they saw that the Lord Jesus has received honor from the people. Then it was there so good. And when it is so good for the church of God, then they do not want to leave that place. Then they want to stay there in the house of God. Then they want to stay there in the place where they receive from the Lord. But it cannot be. Then the Lord says that they must arise, that they must go on, that they must go forward. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Congregation, and the Lord Jesus bore the entire church upon his own shoulders. That is, their iniquity, that he would pay the price for their sin. Then he bore upon him all their shortcomings, all their errors, all their weaknesses, all the instruction that was necessary for them. What a weight that this was upon the Son of Man. And when this weight lay on the Son of Man, then we read that he went up into the mountain to pray. And what did he pray for? Well, he prayed in the first place for himself. Say, for himself? Did he need to pray for himself? Oh, yes. Why? Because he was not only divine, but he was also human. And then he needed the strength to be given to him every moment from above, that he may go forward in the work that was given him to do. And then it was also for his church, that he may beseech the Lord, that the Lord may keep them, and that he may give to that church instruction. Thus, we read he goes up into this mountain to pray. And it says he was there alone. Are you ever alone, congregation? We live in a time, young people, that it seems that man never wants to be alone. Even when we may be without one another, then there are the means today, the social network, Facebook, etc., so that we are never alone, that we always have to have contact, communication with one another. It is a tool of the devil. Why? Because, young people, we need to be alone. Or we do not say we should not communicate, but we also need to be alone. Why don't we want to be alone? Because when we are alone, then our thoughts, they go to places where they often do not go when we are with others. When we are alone, then we may meditate, and then we may think about our life, what it means, where we have come from, where we are going. And so it is so profitable if there may be times that we may be completely alone and that we may meditate upon those things that are most necessary for us. And what will Satan do? He will keep us busy. Oh, then it is one thing with this person, and then it is something else with someone else. And then our mind that is always going, 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 and we never have time to be alone. And now religion, true religion, that is between God and our soul, that is not even with our husband, with our wife, no. Then it is between God and our soul. And he was there alone. And then we read later on that it was the fourth watch of the night. That means it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, and what was he doing there? He was praying. Oh, he was still praying. Oh, congregation, may we ever so pray when we are alone that we do not say that we need to multiply the words. We do not say that we need to lengthen it out. No, everything that is known by the Lord, we cannot inform him of anything. But we ask you, are there some times that you may pray? Or are there some times that the weight that is lying on your shoulders, that it may be borne out before the throne of God? And he was there alone. And as he was praying, how was it with his church? But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind that was contrary, that is the way, congregation of the Church of God. Read it in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the wind was contrary. Through much tribulation, the church will enter into that kingdom of God. The church that needs to receive instruction. Say we send them to the catechism class. Is that right, children? Oh, yes, when we are young. But the church that needs to receive instruction, no, not only in the catechism class, the church needs to receive instruction every day. And they need to receive instruction not only in their mind, but they need to receive instruction in the experience of their soul. And what is now the way that the church receives instruction? That is when the wind is contrary. It goes against them. The wind was contrary. Were they in the wrong way? They are out on that ship. They are out on those waters. And the wind that is contrary to them, how many questions are then in their mind? Is this the right way? And congregation, they were sent. That is the way that the Lord Jesus told them they had to go. They even did not want to go in that way. And now it seems like everything is going against them. Is that with you too? Or then it is not. That when that wind is contrary, that we say this is not the way of the Lord, then it is possible with Jonah that we flee from the Lord. But it is not a strange thing in the life of God's children for that wind to be contrary. Consider the life of Jacob. All these things are against me, but it was the way of the Lord. Consider the life of Job. All the wind was contrary. Was it contrary when they set out? No. No, then the wind was fair. But as time went on, then it became contrary. And that is now the lesson of that young spiritual life. Or is it contrary in the beginning? Ask God's children how the Lord does woo them, how the Lord does draw them, or that they think that that way shall ever remain in the love of God. And yet as time is going on, then they have to experience in their life that the wind is contrary. And that is necessary. And why is that necessary? Consider only those disciples. When everything is calm, when everything is smooth, then congregation there, they are sailing upon these waters. Or then they have everything in their control. Then they can do it. Then they can manage. And what happens when that wind becomes contrary, when it becomes too strong for them? Oh, then they feel they have no strength. Then they are brought to an end of their self-sufficiency. Then they are brought to an end of their own wisdom. Why is it that the wind must go contrary in the life of God's children? That is to break down that upon which they do build. That is that their self-sufficiency may be made low. That they may be brought to an end of their own wisdom. To be brought to an end of their own strength. The wind was contrary. That has happened before. We can read it. And at that time, Christ was with them in the boat. You remember that, children? Then they cried to him. They woke him up. And now what? It happens again. But the Lord Jesus is not there. He is not there. Now what? Yes, faith that must be taught. It must be instructed. Faith that must be brought to increase in the life of God's children. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And Christ is absent. They hear him not. They see him not. How is it, people of the Lord? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Oh, he is never far away from his people. He is watching. He is near. How is it then, people of the Lord, with your behavior in the storm? Oh, how is it with the rebellion? How is it with the desires? How is it with the need? Oh, Christ comes to them. How? Walking on the sea. Or walking on the mighty waters as they are storming in the life of the disciples. And then he walks there as the creator of the heavens and of the earth. He walks there without fear. He walks there as the ruler, the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. What about gravity, young people? It is at his command. What about the waves, children? Oh, he fears nothing. Oh, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. The disciples, their fear is so great, they are not able to discern who he is. And so they say, "It is a spirit." It is an apparition. Maybe they thought even an evil spirit, because the fear can be so great in the life of God's children that they are sometimes not able even to discern whether what is from heaven is actually from the Lord or if it is from the devil. That is not out of blasphemy. No, that is out of fear. It is out of a despair. But the Lord, he comforts them. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." We cannot go into these words. Really, there is so much in these words, because fear, that is a consequence of our fall. That is in all of us. And what is now the only deliverance from fear? That is Christ. What does he say? He says, "It is I. Be not afraid." Or with him, there is no more reason to fear. He reassures his children. And yet, that storm is not taken away. No, he comforts them in that storm. He says, "Be of good cheer." He says, "Be courageous." Oh, if he is with us in that storm, is not everything well? Can the world say that, congregation? Paul, a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet him. He asked the Lord to remove it. "My grace is sufficient for thee." He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Who is it? It is Peter. "Lord," he says, "if it be thou." How did Peter know that it was the Lord? He did not say his name. He did not say who he was. He only said, "It is I." And Peter knew him. How did Peter know him? Or what does the Lord say? "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me." Or, "It is the voice of my beloved." And so they may recognize his voice. And when Peter recognizes the voice of the Lord Jesus, oh, then he wants to be so near unto him. Oh, then he loses sight of everything. He loses sight of that sea. He loses sight of himself. And he only wants to be near unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it has to be as soon as possible. We'll read that later also at the Sea of Tiberias. Oh, then he is jumping into that sea, even though that net is there with all those fishes. The other disciples, they have to care for those fishes. But Peter wants to be close unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he even wants to walk to him on the water. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Oh, what is in a congregation, there is love in it. There is so much love in it. But there is also some boldness in it. We know the character of Peter. And yet he asks, oh, he desires permission. He desires an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, little faith. Little faith is bold. May they be bold? Yes, they may be bold. The Lord says, let us come boldly unto that throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. Oh, that little faith that is bold, that is asking great things of the Lord. And yet that little faith is not presumptuous. Oh, no. Is asking. Oh, it is needing that personal invitation. It is needing that personal application. And now, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, come. Come. And we say, it is little faith's affection acknowledged. Oh, the Lord Jesus. He is going to allow this. Why? Because he sees something in it. What does he see in it? Oh, he sees love. Love that is living in the heart of Peter. And we say it is shortcomings born. He is going to give him permission. Come. Why? Is he going to just let him do something that is so very, very dangerous? Like today, they like to do all kinds of very dangerous things in this world that we can outdo one another in the things that we dare. Oh, young people, then we dare the Lord himself to put an end to our life. That is, thou shalt not kill, but that is not what Peter is doing here. And the Lord Jesus owns it. He owns the love. And he is going to instruct Peter. Come, he says. Acknowledging that love. Giving him a divine permission and an invitation. Come. And what does he do? He looks over all his faults. Everything that is wrong. Everything of his character. Now he's going to teach him something. And what is that? And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is what we said. Little faith's exercise. Little faith's exercise. How is it possible that Peter can walk on the water? By faith. By faith. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, O ye of little faith. If the Lord Jesus said Peter had little faith, then where is our faith? How great congregation is true faith. Read it in the book of Hebrews. True faith that can remove mountains. True faith that is able to quench the violence of fire. True faith that has brought down the walls of Jericho. Or true faith that is to the saving of the soul from an everlasting perdition. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Even little faith. Oh, when his eye that was fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then Peter saw nothing else. He saw no storm. Or is that not the way of the Lord? When he is coming to his children, is it not the way of the Lord when he is showing himself through the lattice? Or even sometimes, if it may be behind our wall, when the Lord Jesus may reveal himself in the life of God's children, do they not lose sight of everything? Is it not in that moment that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? Oh, that they see that though their sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, is there not then that only that one thing that they may see and that they may receive by a true and a living faith? But they are not there yet. Oh, they are not there yet. No, they may see it, but they do not yet receive it. And what are they doing? Oh, they are asking, Lord, may I now come to thee? Oh, will thou bring me to thee? May I come to thee on the water? May I come to thee by a true and living faith? Oh, will thou give this unto me? And that I may truly believe in thee, that I may truly receive everything from thee. Oh, then they are not able, though they are commanded in a general way, or they are not able to take it unto themselves. But in this way, they are receiving the sweet invitations of the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How the Lord is fitting it to the case of that people. How the Lord is drawing them by his invitations. But how is the way? Oh, it is through stormy waters. What happened to Peter? Oh, we read, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. What did Peter do, children? Peter took his eye off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked at the wind. And he looked at the waves. That is what it says. He saw the wind boisterous. Then he was afraid. How is that, people of the Lord? Oh, then the Lord gives to them that they may draw near. Oh, the Lord gives to them that they may come, and yet they are not there yet. And now that way, then they begin to look at the wind, and they begin to look at the waves. And then sin that is becoming more and more opened unto them. And then they are reading that law of God. Oh, the perfection of the requirements of that law. Oh, then they are considering God will have his justice satisfied. Oh, and then the Lord is opening unto them and what is necessary to appear before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, and then on that way, and then they see their daily shortcomings. Then they see the inconsistencies. Then they see the remaining corruption. Then they say, I have sinned also against received grace. Oh, then they see the wind that is boisterous, and they become afraid. And they begin to sink. Why? Because they cannot uphold themselves. Oh, faith. Oh, then they are not able to hold on. Oh, then the foundation that has come out from underneath their feet. Oh, then they are finding out by experience that there are no other foundations upon which they are able to stand. That everything that is as sand, or that is a people who indeed may profess they have seen something of the blessed mediator, or they have felt something of his power, they have believed in him, and yet there are still so many fears, or they fear what? That I will still one day perish at the hand of Saul? And what do they do? Let us sing first. 415, 3 and 8. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness, which has ever been of old, and what follows in 3 and 8 of 415.
Thank you.
Our third thought, little faith's urgent cry and timely deliverance. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Congregation, is there a shorter prayer in the Bible? There is no explanation in it. Oh, there is no eloquence in it. There is no lengthening of it. There is no great oratory. What is in it? Need. Need. Urgent need. It is a cry of a sinking soul as he is going down. It is a cry of a soul who was not able to save himself. It is a cry of a soul who says, Lord, save me. Save me now, or I shall perish forever. Oh, what does the Lord have to do to make us so to cry? Read Psalm 107. Oh, then he has to bring us to the gates of death. Oh, then he has to bring us to our wit's end. Oh, then he has to bring us to that place where we fall down and there is none to help. Oh, Lord, save me. A cry, congregation, that needs who? A cry that needs a mighty deliverer. A cry that needs a powerful Savior. Or is it the people who need a good teacher? That is what they say, young people. They say, well, he is not the Son of God. No, he was a good man. He was a good teacher, the best teacher even. Is that what Peter needs? Lord, save me. Oh, Peter needs more than a good teacher. Peter needs more than a good man. Peter needs God. Peter needs the Almighty God. And so it is a cry that is honoring that Savior. Oh, it is a cry. Those three short words that are pleading upon the attributes of God, the power of God, the will of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Oh, it is a cry that is out of the struggle of faith. It is out of the weakness of faith. A faith that is sinking in the waters, out of the shortcomings of faith, and yet it is a cry of faith. Oh, it is a cry that is worked by that Savior himself. Oh, it is that Savior himself and that has told them they had to go over that water to the other side, and he has stayed on this side. It is a cry that was the subject, we may believe, of the supplications of that mediator upon that mountain. It is a cry that mediator himself has worked. Oh, he has stayed away from revealing himself to those disciples until the fourth watch of the night. A cry from him, a cry to him, and will it not be a cry that is also answered by him? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Oh, we say a timely deliverance. Why? Because it is not the will of your Father, he said, that even one of these little ones should perish. Immediately, straightway, it was, congregation, not a moment too late to save him from perishing. The water that may come to the lips, but it is impossible that Peter shall perish. But it is also a deliverance that is not one moment too soon. Oh, we think that the Lord waits too long, don't we? Don't we? You say it is time now for the Lord to come because I have prayed for 20, 30, 50, or maybe 70, 80 years. He is say, Lord, it is time. It is time now for thee to come. The congregation, if he has not come yet, then there is still a cry that needs to be wrought. Because the Lord does not come one moment too soon, the mediator must receive the honor. The mediator must receive the glory. And therefore, he waits. And therefore, he waits to that moment of extremity. Immediately, he stretched forth his hand and caught him. Oh, what a power was experienced by Peter in that stretched forth hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to lift him up and to make him stand and to put, as it were, a solid ground, even in that water, a solid ground under his feet. That is the power of that mediator in the deliverance of the soul from a certain death and from an everlasting perishing. He caught him. He caught him as he was descending. And then he may feel the everlasting arms of that mediator underneath. And now what is it? What is it that the Lord is opening in the life of his people that he may so lift them in that moment that they believe to perish? Oh, then the Lord, he is opening something unto that people. And he is showing them. He is clearly revealing. Maybe just a small thing. But what is it? Maybe they see the obedience of that mediator. Or they think to perish because they have not obeyed. And then he gives them an eye to look upon him, who has kept every jot and every tittle of that law to the full satisfaction of his Father. And then it is for that people, or as if the Lord he puts underneath them his everlasting arms. He shows them that suffering mediator. When they see so much of what they deserve, and they think to perish therefore forever, and then he opens a little bit of that suffering and that price that he has paid for the putting away of sin, opening unto them the satisfaction of the Father, all that he has taken away, all his anger, and that he has put away all his wrath. All what is the Lord opening unto that people that may lift them so up out of that pit of destruction. Then he shows them something of that risen mediator. All that it was. Not only that he has come in the form of a servant. And that he was put to death. But that he was victorious. That he was victorious. Over sin. Over death. Over hell. Over the grave. So that there is nothing more that needs to be accomplished from my side. Or do you understand a little how it is that the Lord is catching that people as they are descending in those waters and expecting congregation to perish forever? Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Is that not now the great work of that blessed mediator? From the beginning to the end, his work, in order that the Father, the great judge, may say, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. And what is the outcome? For a few moments yet, little faith's trial ended, and the purpose of the instructor obtained. And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. The trial ends. And why does the trial end? Because that trial had a purpose, and that purpose is obtained. The end is obtained, and then the trial is not necessary anymore. Oh, the Lord, it does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. No, the Lord is doing it for a purpose. And if we are still under his afflicting hand, all his purpose is still not obtained. And for some, that has to go to the end of our life. To the end of our life. Why? That is to keep us. To keep us. Paul, his thorn. And the Lord said, no. But when the purpose is obtained, then the trial will end. And when the purpose of this life for God's children, when the purpose of our life that is obtained, then the trial
And the trial of this life is going to end. And then the Lord is going to say, it is enough. And then he is going to put away all the wind and all the waves. And then he will wipe away all the tears from the eyes of his people. And when then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. This congregation, his purpose, his final purpose of everything, was his purpose from eternity, was his purpose in the creation of the world, and we have ruined it in our first Adam. Or we do not worship him anymore. But now the second Adam, he has come with a purpose, and that is that he may have a people that may bow their knees in worship of a triune God. Here we have the beginning of it, of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. Did those disciples not know it before? They knew it. Oh, yes, they knew it, that he was the Son of God. How is it different? They have the evidence. Oh, Peter, he has the evidence of a congregation in his heart, in his life. He felt it. He felt it. It was more than in his mind. It was the experience of his life. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God, and we need to experience it, because to experience it is now the only way that God is going to receive his honor. That is what he says, call upon me. In the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And then we have the beginning,
foretaste of what it will be for that people forever and ever. Begins on the earth, continues there in heaven, and it never ends. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It is for the encouragement of little faith. It is not for the encouragement of no faith. No faith has no love, no hunger, no thirst, no desire, no good affections. Love is missing. Sorrow is missing. Everything is missing. Do they know storms? Yes. No faith, he knows storms. In this life, many portion of all men. But he has no storms here. No storms spiritually. No storms over the missing of God, the lack of his honor. No storms over his own sin. And then he thinks he's on good ground. Think that too? He can sleep at night, because he thinks he is standing on good ground and he is going to eternity. You know what we read in the Bible? Let him that thinketh, take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. Oh, if it never changes, congregation, we are going to sink away. We're going to sink away. Children, oh, can you imagine what that will be? To sink away to all eternity. It's a bottomless pit without bottom, in which God has cast Satan and all his angels. Oh, will you not ask the Lord, Lord, may I come to thee? May I come to thee? May I come to thee by a true faith, that I may truly draw near, even as thou drawest all thy people. Then we will know, and we will experience what it is for the foundations to fall away. But they are false. They are false. And then we will also experience what it is to be caught, and then to be placed upon a rock, a solid rock that will stand to all eternity, and by which we can appear before him who is and who was and who is to come. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Are there not those who are not strangers of such sinkings? And why is it? Is it not because that you have taken your eye off of that blessed mediator? Oh, you have seen him. Your soul that has been drawn after him to desire him in the night. And you know what it is to hear his voice. But now time goes on and you do not have it yet. And oh, then the Lord opens to you all the sins of your youth. And then you say, it is a mountain so high that I cannot come over. And the Lord opens to you the sins of today, all your shortcomings. Oh, the Lord opens to you what it was even in paradise. And then you begin to doubt, and you begin to sink. O thou of little faith, therefore didst thou doubt. Do you really have good reason? Is his grace not wide as the ocean? Is it not so? Does he not say that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, really, really, is anything too hard for the Lord? Has he not put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and that he may sit and eat with publicans and sinners? Oh, will you not be given to cry that you may look upon him whom the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not in you, but in him. O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can't give it to ourselves. We can't give it to one another. But Peter asked, Lord, may I come? May I come by a true faith to thee? Lord, could it be the desire, the supplication of each and every one of us? Wilt thou bless thy word, forgive our many sins, bring us safely to our places, and with desire to gather again in this afternoon, we may acknowledge thee for the help that thou hast given unto us. Oh, give us an increase in our strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 281:3. Oh, my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. Bless Jehovah. And forget not all his mercies to proclaim. 1:3 of 280. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.